How you doing, Brad?
We got Brad Arnold in D.C. Brad Arnold's the lead singer of Three Doors Down. He is the most relevant rock star in America right now. To get him in D.C., I'm not even sure what we were trying to ask him.
Being a rock star, it's like most of the people who were scared to do this event. Is that not like real rock stars, you know, have heart to do stuff? What is it?
I don't even know what he was trying
what does
to
that
ask.
Mean? Man, this is all about America. Proud to be here.
And we say, you know, what does it mean for you playing at the Trump inauguration? He is beaming. Like, he is so excited. He's so happy.
We love America, man. This could be a great experience. It's a great honor to be here. We're proud to be here.
Where is he performing? Three doors down from the White House?
Everybody, and welcome to Stand By Your Band, the podcast where we have comedians on to defend music that they enjoy that other people don't like so much. I am Tom Dekar, your brave host, taking on another Ooh. Challenge for another week, and I am, of course, joined by my beloved co-host?
Hopefully.
Question mark?
You know you're beloved when people use that inflection.
Celebrated?
Like a
The Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How you doing, buddy?
I'm a tired man.
You seem tired. You look like a sleepy little bitch.
Oh, wow.
What's going on over there?
That worked all day, you know?
Oh, yeah, I hear you. I was working on my taxes all day. You do your have you done your taxes already?
Of course. You're done?
Oh, don't of course me, you
I'm a
fucking
patriot.
Asshole.
I give Uncle Sam a little early Christmas present, if you know what
Is
I mean.
Is that right? Did you get money back, or did you have to pay?
We'll see.
I am like, yeah, it takes me three goddamn days, three doors down days to do my damn taxes, and it's driving me nuts.
I think that's what Jesus was doing in that cave.
Yeah, yeah.
It
yeah.
was in April.
Are you talking about Osama bin Laden?
Oh, my God.
You're Jesus, you sick Al-Qaeda fuck. Let's introduce our guest. Why don't
Osama
we?
Osama bin Laden.
Osama, defend your actions. we are, of course, joined by the pride of Chicago himself, Dan Sheehan. How you
Who
doing?
Who doesn't
buddy?
Live in Chicago, by the way?
No, the pride of Chicago, though. That's where I met him, so that's what it counts for.
Yeah. That's the only place that has pride for me, right?
That's
now.
Exactly right. You're, that's what that pride parade's about, right?
Yeah, people celebrating me.
It just floats of you.
Just doing stuff. Me at the grocery store, me yeah. at the bank.
It's like a Tinder sucks float or whatever. Yeah. I suck at Tinder. How you
Tinder
been, buddy?
Sucks.
I was making a reference to Dan's famous blog.
I know what you were trying to make a reference
to. Oh, trying. Oh.
You do know Wolf, right?
I'm going to fucking kill you today, Tommy. No offense.
That's what OJ said right yeah. before he killed Ron and Nicole.
Hey, he's innocent.
No offense. No offense.
No offense. That's what he said when he couldn't move the ball when he was playing.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway.
I always forget he was an athlete before
yeah.
everything, before becoming so much more.
He won the Heisman.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's crazy.
That's what that statue is. It's him dodging
accusations.
His lover's... dying, you know, glances. Anyway.
So you're here to defend Donald Trump, right?
Yeah,
I'm here to defend President Donald Trump. No, I'm here to defend the fine young men of Three Doors Down, who I just heard speak for the first time.
That was just one of them. That was old Brad, what's this fucking
Brad
name?
Arnold.
Brad Arnold.
Oh,
man.
Boy.
Weirdly close to Brad
Arnold.
Arnold.
And they look alike, too.
Past
they,
guest.
And he in this, he is defending jam music or whatever if you keep the clip going. Mm. Isn't that what he, what did he defend? He defended like a fish.
Humphreys McGee.
Humphreys McGee, that's what it was, yeah. You an Humphreys man, Dan?
I'm not an Humphreys man. I haven't really heard much of theirs. I'm sure there's stuff of theirs I'd probably recognize.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess there are no Three
times.
Doors Down.
Three Doors Down holds a very special place in my heart, man. They were like the core of like radio rock music when I was in like fifth and sixth grade and had just been able to like start developing
Let's
my own taste. And so I got super into them. And then they were like the peak of like that like mall music. Like music, they're just it would
oh,
be
for sure.
It'd be playing everywhere because it was inoffensive. and it kind of ruled, but not in a way that made anybody angry.
Well, inoffensive to some, but offensive to a Superman, maybe.
Oh, definitely Superman.
Singing about he can't even enjoy their biggest hit.
That's true.
Yeah, because he got murdered by that stone he's allergic to.
Yeah, what a bitch. Superman ass. Yeah, I remember being everywhere you went. It's not even just the one song. A lot of people are like, oh, they had that one song. They had a lot of chart toppers.
They did. They had like, because I mean, obviously, Kryptonite's the one everyone knows, is the one everyone recognizes. But like, you know, who thinks of When I'm Gone and all these other ones,
right,
that used to pop up all the time. They would be like in the background of like every ad for a Transformers movie. Mm-hmm. Like anything that was like PG-13 and like targeted straight to that crew, like you had a Three Doors Down song on that for at least a while.
And of course, famously, before the movie, they played the Coast Guard ad with Citizen Soldier, which everyone in the world has seen so many times.
It's, yeah, that's why I picked that as one of the songs. I
can't believe you put that on your list.
It's because,
shocking.
Like it or not, that song is in my head
it's because,
forever.
Like it or not, I'm in the Coast Guard.
like it or not, I did join the Coast Guard.
You may love it, you may hate it.
I was duped in.
I bet a lot of people did join just because of that, you know? They were like, that song fucking rules, man.
Citizen I'm gonna Soldier, join the hell yeah.
Coast Guard, hell yeah.
Saw iRobot 3 times just to keep seeing that music.
I mean, it was probably online.
Yeah, probably. But iRobot was also a great film. So.
Yeah, pretty good movie.
Do you remember that Coast Guard movie, The Guardian?
Oh, yeah, Ashton Kutcher, and was that Billy Bob Thornton?
I'm just looking at that. It was Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner. Oh. Oh, okay.
Was he Ashton Kutcher was in that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, was he good?
Well, he was swimming champion Jake Fisher. That's what I know.
I remember at the time, one of my friends said it was his favorite movie.
That's insane.
Wow.
And I remember at the time thinking that was like kind of strong praise for that particular film. But it was like one of those, do you ever have like a weird fact you picked up from like some sort of like movie or like piece of fiction that you just assumed to be true your whole life?
Yeah. There's like you can only, the best type of way to jerk off is by banging a pie, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the weird trivia that I have.
In that movie, they go, like if you fall underwater from more than 100 feet up, it's like hitting bricks.
Oh, wow.
And I just took that as like, okay, so 100 feet up at that point, water will kill you. Like that's just what I always have assumed. And I'm not sure that's 100% accurate.
I think that it does mess you up pretty bad, but I could be using the same, I could be getting the same information.
We could all have just seen The Guardian
at
some
point.
I didn't
see The Guardian. The only Guardian I know is that rag that that some people call news.
Ripping into British newspapers over here.
That's right. Libtard bullshit.
Man,
I don't even know what it's... That's true.
Europeans are all just inherently liberal.
Yeah, they're not Americans.
I was trying to find funny, mean reviews of The Guardian, but they're all just bad water puns. Just like, he left the audience in the water too long.
Oh,
you know,
God.
Shit like that.
It's I know at the end of the movie, Costner's character, spoiler alert, is taken by the sea. And becomes like a spirit that saves people from storms.
Kutcher may soon be ready to anchor a Hollywood movie, but
oh my god.
Somebody got paid for that.
This is my problem with Three Doors Down. It is The Guardian. It's supposed to. We want it to be so bad we can make fun of it, but it's just fine. You know what I mean?
It is. You said it yourself on the Facebook thread, which we'll get to. They're just so boring,
they're
man.
They're so boring.
I remember, so before we get into how much they suck, we should talk about, your connection. So do you have any memories assigned to this band? Like, do you have things that attached you to them that you can remember that...
Yeah, like,
you know.
They're pretty much, I mean, for the record, I share none of their politics, but they are pretty much like a...
Oh, so you don't love America? Interesting.
I don't love it as much as these guys do, because they pretty much are like a nostalgia pick for me, because they were, Kryptonite was on Now 5, which was like back when the Nows were in single digits.
I was a big Now boy.
Yeah, yeah. It was like track 6 or 7. Like, I still like remember, there was like a killer sequence in there of like Kryptonite, and there were like a few others.
I want to look up the track
list. If you look up the track list, I guarantee you that for the year 2001 or 2, it was like pretty on fire.
You know, Kryptonite was their first single.
Was it really?
Isn't that crazy? I thought that was a crazy
wild
fact. I think it was earlier. I think it was like 99 or something.
I mean,
like that.
Yeah,
and it's got to
really
still be
that.
Their biggest hit. I can't imagine that it would be. But they do have some bangers in here. I really liked, you didn't put this on your list, but I used to love If I Could Be Like That.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Just rock a wonder in those shoes.
See, anybody can do this.
Well, it's the same thing as Daughtry, and then, of course, he tours with Daughtry.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Everybody that they're like, they tour with. Like, yeah, there's so
Nickelback,
many bands.
It's everyone
that
get lumped in
with. Well, because people that like are obsessed with one of those bands are typically excited if they're like, hey, now here's another band that sounds exactly the same. Like, they're just hell yeah, like more.
So... you want to take a guess as to where Kryptonite's listed on this Now CD? I know you already said one number, but I'm going to tell you it was wrong.
Okay, I'm going to say track 5 then.
All right, Tommy, you got to guess.
Wait, we're guessing
Now
the...
5. Where on this track?
Why would he guess?
Because he said he knew
I thought
where
I remembered
it.
I really thought I knew it.
I mean, obviously, that is going to be in the 3 spot. That's in the 3 hole, like Chris
17.
Bryant.
17.
Oh,
wow.
The 3
okay.
hole.
17 again.
Hell yeah. Yeah, 17 hole, like. Chris Bryant's 3rd at bat. No, that doesn't add up. It doesn't matter.
Like where Jordan Spieth fell apart in the Masters last year.
Oh, shit. You know we're not supposed to talk about that on the show. He pays us monthly not to talk about that. This
big
is
Patreon
a good
guy.
Yeah, boy, this is a good CD, though. Don't Think I'm Not from Candy is on here. Mm-hmm. Damn.
I don't remember that.
When you're out getting hot in somebody's spot, getting hot, don't stop, just don't think I'm not. Because I'm kidding, man. Damn, you guys are making me look foolish. Wonderful from
Everclear, of course.
It's
yeah.
My Life from Bon Jovi.
That was one of the other killers.
Aaron's
Big Year
Party.
For the White Man.
Oh, my God. Case of the X is on here. God damn.
I put It's My Life by Bon Jovi as in our 5th grade yearbook. They like asked you what your favorite song was, what you wanted to be when you grew up. And I put... It's My Life by Bon Jovi or anything by the Alan Parsons Project.
Oh my
Which,
God.
Because my dad had one CD by them that he would like play a bunch, so I just got super into the Alan Parsons Project at 10. Like it's just this
Hell
old
yeah.
lonely guy with a keyboard set, and it's just like I was
You were down with APP?
Yeah, I was a big fan, Hell man. Yeah. I and this guy, he does the Michael Jordan music. It was
damn.
Yeah.
That's how I was with Styx and Jim Croce. I just didn't like make any sense.
Did you
as
say
child.
Jim Crolos?
Jim hey, what the hey? They've got some deep cuts people didn't know about. Apparently, black people weren't allowed to vote either. Anyway.
They also were like, Kryptonite's my go-to karaoke song, one of like a couple.
I saw you
me.
Sing it.
Yeah. That's what we were talking about this. Because me and Tommy did karaoke together in L.A., and I did Kryptonite, and it was the first time I'd done it in a while, and it felt as good as it ever has.
Now, we rocked it.
Was it at, what's the name of the bar that people do karaoke at?
Not Bigfoot,
that's
it. It's like Hyperion.
Oh, that was
public.
Good. That was fun.
Yeah,
like
that
Hyperion.
Was a good time. Yeah,
it was my first time there, and I was like, this is a karaoke bar I can get behind.
Nice.
It's like right near
Hard
where I
to
live,
find
too.
Ones that you're real into.
In the middle of my performance, I knocked over a chair, and then the bartender was like, are you the guy who knocked over the chair? And I went, no. And she goes, oh, I was going to give that guy a beer. Touché.
You're like, it was me.
It's too late. Yeah.
Then they kick you out.
That's how they get you.
I did karaoke, I think, at Bigfoot, and I sang Picture with Liz Mopp, and I threw my beer across the room when I sang the I was off to drink you away, which doesn't really make sense because you'd think I'd take a big drink right then.
Yeah, no, you want
to
drink
gone. Threw it.
I threw my beer across the room.
I swear I'm playing Doom.
Wait. While we talked about Daughtry, I wanted to play this because it relates to our podcast. So I have Daughtry and Three Doors Down combined
to
cover In the Air Tonight.
You know this
based
is
on our favorite L.A. artist.
Billy Collins.
Defend that.
Yeah.
That is rough. this guy, like, this is what every, like, very southern dad, like, wants to imagine he's going to become. Like, whenever you see, like, a dad rock band at, like, a county fair or something, like, they're hoping they're the next Three Doors Down. Because I think they're from, like, Florida or something. I think they're, like, at least somewhere, like, pretty rural, pretty southern.
That show was in Hammond, Indiana, which is not too surprising.
Yeah.
I think they're from Mississippi. Let me look it up.
Yeah, they are. Okay. It's from like a weird sounding place. I want to say like Catsawana do it. Something like that. I want to look it up now.
And he's wearing that t-shirt, which is...
Oh yeah, Escatopa.
That's it. Escatopa, and I think Brett Favre is also from there, and for that reason, Brett Favre loves them.
He loves two things, Wranglers and Three Doors Down.
And trying to bang sports analysts. Hell yeah. I wish he
throwing picks.
Hey, got his ass. Hey, Brett, send us one of those dick pics. We'd look at it. We're not going to do anything sexy about it, but we'll look at it and judge it.
Free month of the Patreon.
Oh, man. So I was asking you memories tied, and then I got sidetracked by this now.
Oh, no problem.
Listing.
The now's a big part of it, and it was just, it was it has been a karaoke go-to for me since, like, college.
Yeah.
Because, like, in college was, like, right when, like, nostalgia for, like, stuff from the, like, late 90s, early 2000s was, like, starting to pick up just, like, a little bit. And so it was, like, one that people recognized and would sing along with. And, yeah, I mean, obviously this is all the last year where I've had to go underground with my with my sympathies for them because they played at the Trump inauguration.
Oh, boy. Apparently people didn't even enjoy it. It's so funny.
I can't imagine they're still in their prime. Like, that's an 18-year-old song.
They
Kryptonite.
Did something very funny, in my opinion, which is that I was reading an article about, it was like a review of their performance at the Trump inauguration. Apparently they opened with like a new song, or like newer song. So people were like, what the
so
fuck?
Funny.
And so apparently there was a bunch of country artists on that did much better than them. And then it took them three songs to get to Kryptonite. And then people were still only half interested. I mean,
yeah, I feel like you got to kind of open with that one. It's the one everybody wants. Like, and you just play it again as an encore.
Why not?
This crowd's not going to go.
They don't
get angry about that.
You think they would be mad about something being tacky?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, boy.
It is crazy that Lee Greenwood, guitarist for Radiohead, played at the inauguration.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Johnny Greenwood is the guitarist for Radiohead.
Okay,
and Lee Greenwood is the guy who wrote... I think Proud to Be an American, one of those songs.
Oh, makes sense that he's there then. This is like really that whole inauguration list, and like Three Doors Down is definitely included, I think, in this genre of like bands that would never admit it, but they're like super lucky 9/11 happened. Like, where it's just like, if there hadn't been that sudden rush of like, yeah, I do love this country, like they, you know, people would have just been like, oh, this is rock music that you play, you know, at the bank or something.
Have you guys seen Carlos Mencia's half hour on Comedy Central? He ends with like a 4-minute like monologue about 9/11 and about how like you got to take your family seriously, you got to like appreciate every day. There's nothing funny. And it's this long rant, and then he just gets off stage. But it's like, I wonder if he just didn't have a closer before 9/11. He was like, finally, the 4 minutes I've been looking for.
Just his Hail Mary is like, all I can do is try to incur sympathy instead of get a laugh here.
He was like, gonna hump the stool or talk about 9/11.
I actually was just at that like museum today.
The Carlos Mencia Museum?
The Carlos Mencia Memorial.
Yeah.
The big like 9/11 thing down in downtown. And there are a couple rooms where then like after all the sad stuff, they just show like the towers and how they appeared like in pop culture. And it was just like, here they are on a poster for a zany movie.
Right.
Or the Simpsons episode.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it's just like a picture of Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, where he has to run to the bathroom.
Yeah. That's a great bit.
Man, that is good.
And then they didn't air that episode for like a really long time. But then I think they did again. Yeah.
Dude, I remember after it happened, I was so sad because, we were all just like drowning in the media about it.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't escape it. And I was like, well, at least I have The Simpsons tonight. And then they didn't show it because of that. And I was like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Such a bummer.
And
you support, of course, what they had to say about Apu this past episode.
Wait, while we're on the topic of 9/11.
This doesn't come up often enough on the show.
No, there was this opening line to one of these. The article is called Three Doors Down. Discuss Citizen Soldier, and this is the first sentence. Three Doors Down had a violent reaction to the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks, admitted rhythm guitarist Chris Henderson.
Violent. They like punched a wall.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. Each other up.
This dude with his like back, like his cap backwards, just punching a wall wearing a skull t-shirt.
They just like start fighting each other. Like, did you do this, Chris? Son of a bitch, Chris! I knew it. I've seen you hanging out.
so much so that the Mississippi band wrote in response. The song they wrote in response to it was unreleasable. It was a little out of taste.
I want to hear it so bad.
Oh, I know.
Fuck, I wonder if there's lyrics anywhere.
Oh, I guarantee you that song is like incredibly racist.
Oh, we've got to find it.
So then, but the music for Citizen Soldier is the music from that song, and they just changed the lyrics to be about the Coast Guard. So there is, they do know the words. So yeah, here's a quote from that part. We'd already written a song in response to 9/11, Henderson said. We had the music already, and we had these really violent lyrics about kicking everyone's ass and shit. Then Toby Keith, of course, came out with his song, so we're like, no sense in us putting ours out.
Oh, yeah, he came out with something. Didn't he, like, come out?
We'll put a boot in your ass. Yeah.
I mean, that's the anthem for sure. I mean, that's that and, like, the Alan Jackson song that was like, mm-hmm. Where were you?
when they boom.
Damn it, I was trying. I looked it up. I can't find. I just searched Three Doors Down 9/11 song, and I'm not finding it. Oh, well.
It's like a weird Adam Sandler riff.
I just want to know what they say. I want to see if there's any racist stuff in there.
Yeah, I feel like it's either that or just like very well-meaning, just like, I want to go over there and individually kick everybody's ass.
If I was on that plane, things would be a little different. Yeah, we should listen to Jared's voicemail now that we're getting into this pod. We're way deeper than I realized. All right, let me get this loaded up here. If you don't know, Jared Thompson is the owner of the beautiful Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana, where I will be May 3rd through the 5th.
Ooh.
I'm bringing Tim McLaughlin to open for me because he's a little bitch and it'll be funny. You can poke at him if you feel like. That's part of your ticket prices. You get to touch Tim in whatever ways you want. You can beat the shit out of him. He doesn't care. He's just grateful for the spot. But yeah, come out there, comedyattic.com for tickies. And now here is a little voicemail from the beloved friend and foe of the podcast, Jared Thompson.
What's up, y'all? This week they went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Three Doors Down. How will they do it? I have no idea. Really, this, how they're going to defend them in any way other than your basic, I liked them when I was a kid. So-and-so took me to a concert, or I heard them this way, and I just liked it when I was younger, and then now if I hear it on the radio or someone's playing it, I'm not going to turn it off. You know, there's really not any other angle here. I mean, it's just terrible. Three Doors Down should send residual checks to Nickelback, because if not for Nickelback, Three Doors Down would be the answer to who's the worst band, because they really are just as bad as Nickelback. And we just collectively decided that Nickelback was the worst band, but there's really no reason for it there to be, they could be the same band. I mean, most embarrassingly for me at least is Citizen Soldier. I mean, it is just, you know, when you go, there was a while there when you would go to the movies and that would play before the movie. And it's like, it was Trump porn, like before, you know, Trump voter porn before Trump was a candidate. I mean, it was like made specifically only for people who would have voted for Donald Trump. Fuck man. We were doing so good last week with Billy Joel. This is just a fucking nightmare.
Oh, thank you, Jared. That might have been your best one yet, besides when you asked that lady on the street. That was the best.
Is Jared a libtard?
I think he might be.
I never knew that.
We don't usually get political on this show, Jared. Yeah, so a lot of people are saying about that Citizen Soldier. A lot of people are bringing that up. But I think that Jared makes a good point about Nickelback. And Nickelback, actually, there's like a little bit of, there's a feud between Nickelback and Three Doors Down.
There is?
Enough, because Nickelback took Three Doors Down's drummer.
Oh, shit.
And they were pissed about it. And then I just watched an interview with Brad and the boys where they're talking about how they're actually better now without that drummer. They don't care about Nickelback. And
it was like a,
they're
like
a better band.
Old version of like the Taylor Swift, Katy Perry thing.
Yeah,
because didn't that
dancer,
all start with,
yeah,
yeah, like a backup mm-hmm. dancer?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
And truly the Taylor Swift and Katy Perry
of
their
God.
Time.
Oh, God. Three Doors Down cool. should remake Bad Blood.
That'd be sick.
Baby, now you got Bad
Blood.
Oh, no. I found an article about this this beef from after they did the inauguration. Nickelback frontman Chad Kroeger says, at least we're not Three Doors Down.
Oh, shit.
He says he's like super grateful. He says, I'm beyond ecstatic, Kroeger said as he clapped his hands and did little running butterfly kicks across the studio. I really thought a day like this would never come. I mean, I made peace with the fact that people were just going to drop Nickelback into every joke about music for the rest of time. But then Three Doors Down, those beautiful dumb bastards dropped us the biggest lifeline ever. Kroeger said as soon as he found out they were playing Trump's inauguration, he knew that Nickelback was forever in the clear, and Three Doors Down had just cemented their place as music's biggest joke. Also, Creed tweeted out, or posted on Facebook, I think this is, did you know even Jesus hates Three Doors Down, LOL? Feels good to not have our band in that joke anymore. Thanks for being a bunch of red state douchers, Three Doors Down. I'm starting to wonder if this is fake. If this article is fake.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I hate how this happens. I was going to say, that's pretty
I want to see. I'm going to look up on Twitter. I can verify if this is true just by looking at Creed's Twitter.
Even if it is true, I feel like the Nickelback guy was doing a lot of wishful thinking there. He was like, now I know we're in the clear, and I'm never going to have to hear another joke about my band again. Because I feel like in the last year and a half, that has not changed.
No,
like,
I mean, Nickelback will always be...
That whole genre of just like... Was there ever like a word for it? It was just kind of like...
I saw it described as post-grunge a lot.
Yeah, yeah. People kept saying...
Which
yeah,
is an insult to grunge.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, yeah, this is like after Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, this is what like, Kurt was fighting
this
for.
This is what it evolved into.
Well, it's kind of like how all those like early indie bands, like the, you know, like Arcade Fire and all those, like made a bunch of great albums and then led into like... like years of like Lumineers stuff where it's just like, oh, like it's the same ingredients, but now it's been washed clean and made radio
friendly.
That is interesting,
yeah.
And I feel like it's kind of similar with like grunge and this post grunge stuff. I would say that voicemail unfortunately skewered a lot of my love for Three Doors Down in the fact that it is a lot of nostalgia for me. Like I would
that's
never
like what a lot care. Of this yeah, is. Yeah. That's most of
yeah.
this podcast. Honestly.
I'd never go home and crank Citizen Soldier, but if it played before movies again, I wouldn't be upset.
You wouldn't walk out.
The one thing I will say is Kryptonite is still 100% a jam. There, that
sure.
song is still genuinely.
Should we go ahead and listen to it just to
sure.
get just yeah. to get our palates going here? By the way, I think that article was fake. I can't find that tweet. I'm pretty pissed. Stop making fake, not funny enough articles. That's the problem. This wasn't funny enough to read as like oniony. You
well,
know?
That's like I was telling Tom before. There was this thing where someone tweeted a fake video of as if Three Doors Down had played All Star by Smash Mouth at the
oh,
inauguration,
yeah,
and then all these
I
people thought
that.
It was, and then all these people had like condescending responses to it, like, really? This is a sentence I never thought I'd say. Three Doors Down covers Smash Mouth at inauguration. It's like it's fucking
yeah,
fake.
But it's not real.
Yeah. You're not the smart one because yeah. you didn't figure
and,
out a video was.
You know
fake.
Who posted that? The New York Times.
More like New York libtards.
Got him. Hell yeah. That was a good one, Tommy. All right. Here is some encrypted. Oh, shit.
Just the
hey, Jared, you can say whatever you want, but you can't beat this.
Drums are the best part of the song.
Yeah, man.
And
yeah.
they're in Nickelback now.
Hell yeah.
Well, I took a walk around the world to ease my troubled mind.
He has a troubled mind.
Yeah, this dude's all fucked up about something. The lyrics don't hold up to any level
yeah.
of continuity. Or
but the sands of time is a pretty cool thing to say.
Yeah. It doesn't really make sense in the context of a game about Superman.
Yeah. It's not like he's like a time traveler.
Yeah. That's a great line. My favorite part of this song is like towards the end when he just closes it out by shouting "Whoa!"
Oh, yeah.
Just like whoa, whoa, whoa! It's like, dude, that's how you end the song. That's if you don't have a wrap up.
This sounds like it could be Power Rangers music.
It was the perfect timing for a song like that to come into my life because I was 10 and earnest in a way that you're only earnest when you're 10. And I'm just like, yeah, dude, this sounds exactly like how I want stuff to sound. Like, I didn't want layers to anything I ingested.
Well, he wrote this song in algebra class, which just makes sense is why like kids like it so much, you know?
Hold on.
What do we got?
Oh, this is the Power Rangers movie theme. That's not what I was looking for. I was looking for the Power Rangers like original theme song. I swear there's like a guitar riff that's like the same exact noise. Oh man, I don't think I'm not going to deny that that's a fun song. And when I was a kid, I loved it. I don't know if I would still love it if I heard it for the first time today. But you know what? We'll have to give me amnesia. Somebody whack me in the head.
All right.
Oh! Yeah,
do you think
still
he should update it to be about Black Panther?
Yeah, I would say that would be the politically correct move right now.
I need a woke Three Doors Down.
Yeah, in our cultural moment, I want to see a little more effort out of Three Doors Down.
Do better, Three Doors Down.
And I would love the ensuing 300 think pieces about words that shouldn't have been in that song.
More like in the sands of Time's Up.
Oh, thank you.
Got him. All right. I'm pretty pissed about this Nickelback thing. Hey, Road Sodi, fuck you.
Is that the name of the website? Because that should have tipped you off.
How about
why did you
get
give
off
those
my cards? Ass?
You put your social security number to get to that article, right?
Yeah, I had to know the Nickelback drama.
Road Sodi, your only source for post-grunge news.
Damn it. Let's see. Oh, consequenceofsound.net has something to say about this band. They're like featured a lot on this podcast because they shit on a lot of stuff. So don't don't worry about that. But I want to see if they're shitting on. It's Loser that they talk about. They name as the 21st worst song of the
can
decade.
Can you play that? Because I don't know.
I'm not sure
remember.
I remember.
Yeah. That's like one of their first singles. Also, it was on the same album as Kryptonite.
Because the way you listen to music back then was so different because it was like, you know, I had that Now CD. So for a while it was just Kryptonite. And then I got like their second one, Away From the Sun, that had like another hits on it.
I do remember this now.
I remember this intro.
I want to skip up.
So just
oh, I know this song.
I mean, that's all that post-grunge shit.
I could see that bottoming out on some lists because it was incredibly boring. it was like you were saying, it was that song is just like too boring to really be able to make fun of. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like even they made a Christmas song and I was like, ooh, I can't wait to listen to this. And then it's like, not, you know what I mean?
It's just middle of the road. Yeah.
That's the danger of some of these like super earnest groups is like, you know, because they'll do a song like Kryptonite that should be ridiculous on paper and then just crush it because they never had a doubt in their mind that they were going to crush it. But then when they try to do like emotional stuff or they try to like get political and you know, anything like that, then it just comes off as like the weirdest, most uncomfortable thing. But yeah, it's like it's never so bad that you're like, oh, this could be ironic. Like, you know they're doing their best, which kind of bums you out.
But that's what I think separates like a band I love, the Counting Crows, from a band like Three Doors Down, is that Counting Crows will be way more vulnerable and they'll look stupid.
Yes,
you know what I mean? Where
I
feel like Three Doors Down is so concerned with being tough and cool that they'll never have, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Kind of like a Polyphonic Spree did a little bit of that. Because, I mean, they already were like a big choir, which is silly to begin with. So, like, at that point, you kind of got to double down on it.
Yeah.
And they did like another, like, I wouldn't call the music similar to Counting Crows, but I would call like the vibe similar. Like, I could see them touring together and I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And also, another difference is that Adam Duritz is our best friend, as you guys can see from a picture on our Instagram. Whereas
we meet up every week, the three of us.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So wait, what did Consequence of Sound say about that song?
It says, new metal. Oh, wait, that's not the, here we go. Not that I'm hip to Three Doors Down trivia, but according to their Wikipedia, this song's about a kid addicted to cocaine. I'm hardly one to endorse a drug of any sort, but judging from the way he repeats the chorus for about 46 minutes, singer Brad Arnold really, really has it in for this guy. Me? I've never known anyone who snorted China White to be this epic of a failure. Problematic, sure. Whatever the case, I think Arnold's a little too hyperbolic here. I mean, come on, read this line with a straight face. Addiction needs a pacifier. The buzz of this poison is taking me higher.
Wait, that's a line in the song? Wow.
Does he confuse coke with Molly?
I don't think
he like the pacifier talk? Like,
I think he thinks that it's the same as drinking like four monsters or something.
This like sounds like a guy who's like intimidated by like those sorts of drugs, like they're like I don't know,
for
like,
sure,
big city drugs or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, yeah,
yeah,
big city.
I mean, yeah, they're too big city for me. I don't touch that shit.
Wait, speaking of consequences, before we keep going to the songs, there's something I wanted to mention, which is that they, a member of this band was charged with vehicular homicide.
Yes, yeah,
so
yeah,
defend that.
So defend that sort
I
of
I should have really brushed up
car
on their personal lives before yeah I came here.
It's funny because in the Wikipedia it says that, and then there's a link to vehicular homicide.
Just like you would want to research.
Yeah, as if I want to know what that is.
I was like on the train over here just like listening to their songs like, yeah, I think I'm ready for this. And then I had forgotten about the Trump inauguration, and as you were
oh,
playing that
boy
at the start, I was like, yep, should have definitely, yeah, should have read about that at least.
Out on.
You know what's so funny to me is that a guy from this band committed vehicular homicide, the most boring type of murder.
You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, oh, it could have been an accident.
Yeah, I guess that is the most, because yeah, it could have been an accident. Whereas like if you smother somebody with a pillow, you know,
yeah, there's
you probably
a story
meant
there
to do that. Mm. I found
if Matthew Broderick can do it, it's the most boring form of murder.
Damn.
It's it's the one that most celebrities get like a freebie on. Like most celebrities, yeah, you can hit somebody with your car and it's just like, all right.
I think Laura Bush did.
Yeah, Laura Bush
really
did one.
Yeah.
We know Caitlyn Jenner did.
I mean, Chappaquiddick in theaters now.
Yes.
So
what is that?
As Ted
Kennedy.
Kennedy,
yeah.
Yeah, he
oh,
drove his car
okay
into a river or something and left a lady in there.
Oh my God. That
yeah
sucks.
Politicians can do anything.
That's crazy.
In this interview with Brad, this woman said, Todd has had his problems with addictions and the vehicular homicide charge. Lumping those together as if, like, you know.
Yeah, one night he did a little too much cocaine and killed someone with his car. Yeah, yeah.
He's had his problems. And then he goes, and then he says the same thing. He goes, Todd has had his problems, but he's my brother. He fucking killed a guy.
Yeah. Somebody's dead because of his car.
Boys will be boys.
Yeah, to quote Barsocki, who among us has not killed
I
a man?
I almost said that earlier. That's so funny. Who among us? Well, I want to see, there was a reasoning for why they did the inauguration that made me laugh, but I think I clicked out of the thing, which kind of sucks. But oh, here we go. It says that the reason that they did the inauguration, Three Doors have that God's have that God, guns, and country, black and white sort of point of view, and they spend a lot of time going to Iraq, doing service, playing for the troops. They believe it, and that's just the way they see America. It's pretty hard to argue with. You say, what about the nuances? What about the gray areas? And they say, no, no. God, yeah, guns, America is the greatest country on earth. They stick to that viewpoint.
I think they spend a lot of time going to Iraq. Like, it's that's their hobby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're just going to go hang out
in Iraq.
The roads are way more empty out there.
The Instagram bio of the guitarist is guitarist from Three Doors Down, Navy veteran, CrossFit, sober. If supporting Trump offends you, just save yourself some time and move along.
Oh, thanks.
You move along.
Which is the inspiration for the All-American Rejects.
So did the Trump administration build their strategy around Three Doors Down strategy,
oh,
or
maybe
the other way around?
That is a good question.
Maybe
yeah
they just saw these guys and they were like, yeah, these guys seem to really have a grip on a large chunk of our
if
country.
If I go crazy, then maybe I will just build a wall. Let's see here. Let's go to Facebook for a bit here. Some people agreed with you that they have some bangers. I think people like Kryptonite for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think it was Brandon Ream who said that Superman song dominated rock radio the entire summer it came out, and I could not hate them more.
Oh wow.
Well, Our friend, friend of the podcast, John Bilancini, says their career second act was a National Guard commercial. That's more depressing than state fairs. Also, I was about to say I liked Cumbersome, but that's Seven Mary Three. My only positive memory of them isn't even their song. Damn. Let's see.
Somebody's got to be there saying they're great, right?
I'm looking at something else.
Michael Brucey says, I can't imagine anyone ever being like, you know what I need to listen to right now? Three Doors Down. Calling them the vanilla ice cream of music is an insult to how delicious vanilla ice cream is. They're like ice cream before you put any flavor in it. Just frozen milk that no one would ever choose. Damn.
Jesus.
Dan looks rattled.
These people got families.
Oh, then it turns into a fight in the comments. Mike Christine says, great analogy because frozen milk is always a choice. And Abruzzi says, thanks, Mike. Always appreciate your support. And then Racine says, dude, don't go crying like a bitch because I beat you with logic.
I want Italians off our Facebook.
Yeah, get out of here. Who else was on there besides Racine? Is there another Italian? Oh, yeah, get out of here, Abruzzi. I forgot that he's Italian. They're so different.
Abruzzio.
Oh, my God.
Max Bruno says,
to put it in perspective, in 2009, as the decade changed, I made a list of, like, the best stuff of, like, the decade. I did, like, movies, ooh, albums, and then I did a list of singles, and Kryptonite was number one.
Number one?
It was
what was number two?
I forget what. I think it might have been, like, Wake Up by Arcade Fire, because I was, like, super into them when I was, like, 18 or 19.
Nice.
And
it's a great song.
Yeah, it's a great song. Awesome. And, like, that album is still, I think, my pick for, like, the best album of the 2000s. Funerals, like, my bar none. Like,
did you vote in my famous Twitter poll about the Arcade Fire albums?
I don't think I did. And usually I'm all over your album polls, man. I was there for the whole steady. I was there for the mountains.
Let me find the. It was just like the
your favorites,
the good Arcade Fire albums. Which one's the best? Let me see. And it was very tightly contested. I remember.
Damn.
I'll find it.
I'm torn on that one.
I'm a Funeral guy, I think, because like they're all nostalgic, so yeah, they all have that. And like, I don't know. I feel like just like the surprise of that album, and it's like super tight too. It's like 45
I love
minutes
Funeral
long.
Yeah. I gotta think about this for
a
second.
Kind of guy who laughs at a funeral.
Don't understand what I mean? You're a dumbass. It's pretty simple what I just said. Damn it. I gotta think about this. This is so tricky because Funeral is probably my favorite.
Listen to
too.
These results.
I do
so
like Suburbs, though.
I decided that the three good albums by Arcade Fire are Funeral, Neon Bible, and The Suburbs. Those are the only three options.
Yeah. Nobody would. Oh, wait. You didn't include. You said The Suburbs, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nobody, I don't think, would include Reflector.
Yeah, Reflector or that
Reflector
new one.
Sucks.
And then
yeah,
Everything Now. There's a couple songs that are great. Yeah. I didn't like anything on Reflector.
Okay, so these were the results. Coming in last with 12%.
Neon Bible.
Funeral.
Whoa.
Bullshit.
Really?
Neon Bible is like third for me for sure.
Neon Bible second with 41 and The Suburbs with a whopping 47.
That's bullshit.
I want to see. Yeah, that's wild.
I think Funeral, then Suburbs, then Neon Bible for
yeah
me. Because, oh man, there's just so much good stuff on Funeral.
Neon Bible was the first one I listened to by them as well. But like Funeral just got me for whatever reason.
Neon Bible is the only Black Mirror I listen to.
Which one has in the back seat or whatever it's called?
That's Funeral.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah.
This is the best album.
Yeah,
come on.
It's great. It's got all the neighborhoods on
it.
It's
oh,
got Wake
it
Up. It's yeah, it's a great
yeah, so
great
good. All right. Anybody who said otherwise, fuck off. That's my take. That's my takeaway. Let's see. Dandry says, if you don't really pay attention to the lyrics, they sound like every Christian band. Somebody begged me to read a comment, and I'm going to wait until we play the song that relates to it. I don't know if you saw what I'm talking about. All right. Should we keep this playlist going?
Wait, really quick. I just wanted to do it. So you're a big weird Twitter guy.
Yeah.
You were just at the Shorty Awards.
I was.
Can you give us a scoop before we get into the
tell
playlist?
Oh, yeah. Tell us about the Shorty Awards. Wasn't the Adam Pally, like, didn't you have like a meltdown at the
yeah, I was. I was like sitting right there for that, and that was awesome. That was the funniest thing.
Yeah.
Because he was saying what everyone was thinking, which was like, this is ridiculous. Like, Backpack Kid won an award.
Yeah.
And like.
Yeah.
And like,
fuck Jerry won something.
Yeah, fuck who are we just doing? Steals.
Yeah,
Jerry
I don't
just
understand
takes other people's posts and reposts
yeah
them. My category was quite announced in a very undignified way.
What was your category?
Best and weird. I was nominated alongside like the Share Zone, which is one of my favorite accounts on the internet, and then the winner was Poppy, who's like this musician slash like YouTube person. She does like all this stuff. She's like kind of like a robot or something. I don't know. I'm not super familiar with her work, but she won, and they showed her acceptance speech via video during the intermission. And so I was just kind of like, oh, I guess I lost.
they didn't even announce it?
Yeah, they didn't even announce it. So at that point, I was just like, more wine. Because my plan was to just take advantage of every free thing that I could before.
Did you get a bunch of free wine?
Ton of free wine. That's like a ton of free, like a free selfie light for my phone. I don't really do
that mean?
But it's like a light. It's like very soft lighting.
I was literally picturing like a light beer. Like
selfie light.
This is how my brain has been warped.
It's definitely the type of place where they try to like sell a beer called selfie light or something. But yeah, so like Adam Pally's thing made so much sense because like I sat down at my table and like, you know, I'm sitting there and I like was talking to the people who were seated with me. And the people across me were like two nice folks who do like social media for Nickelodeon and like were nominated on like the brand end of it, which doesn't get announced live, but they all get to come to the dinner. And then there was this lady who does like a travel blog, and she and her husband were very sweet. And the lady next to me, she worked for a guy who was nominated that couldn't be there, and they were nominated for activism for her work in trying to stop child sex trafficking.
Wow.
And nice. So then she was like, what do you do? And I was like, I have a wolf-themed Twitter account that is doing all right, I guess. Yeah. I'm not sure how to feel about it now.
Yeah.
And so like once we like confronted that, like the whole table, I feel like loosened up because we were all just like, this is ridiculous. Like, what is this lady? Like, she's doing real stuff. And it's like in the middle of all of it, the activism category happens, and Eric Garner's daughter, posthumously won the award.
Wow!
And so the guy who accepted for her went up and gave this like dynamite speech about like police brutality and like racism. And then they're like, all right, now here's the best Instagram musician. It was like by the time Adam Pally got up there, everyone was kind of ready for some sort of like release to that. Because
did people like cheer? When like, what was it? Was it tense? Or
yeah, what was the vibe? It seems tense.
It was pretty tense in the room. Our table was laughing, but we were also in the back. Because the front is where they seated, like, all the high-profile people and a lot of, like...
Was the Fat Jew there?
Fat Jew was not there. At least not that I saw. I feel like I would have seen him, too, because he would have been wearing some big, crazy costume.
I saw him at the Knicks game once.
Yeah, he's got the tall hair and stuff,
Yeah. He definitely wants you to see him.
It was Spencer Pratt was there and went up after Adam Pally and, like, tried to,
I like Spencer Pratt.
He tried to, like, counter-roast him, and that didn't get anything either, because he was like, you gotta be positive, not like Adam. And, like, I think he was expecting the room to go, like, yeah! Ooh. But, like, the room was just like... All right, man. Like, you're not great. Like, you're not the person we want to hear this from. But like during, he was like, he got some laughs at the top when he was like just kind of lightly going in, like calling it like the waiting at the DMV of awards shows. And then when he said, "I'm worried about Backpack Kid," I just started losing it because it was so funny. Because the kid comes up wearing these giant shoes, like they were these like big like. Probably 2 or 3 feet long, a foot wide,
like
puffy shoes. Yeah, and they were just like slippers, basically, like, you know, like novelty slippers.
Yeah.
And he took them off, and he had another set of puffy shoes under them that was smaller. And I was just like, you are like 14 or 15. Like, go be a child.
Yeah.
Like, it was, I like talked to the kid later that night because I was drunk and being a little bit of a dick. I was like, I told my friend, I was like, get a picture of me and this Backpack Kid.
What a weird place to be drunk, like surrounded by the fucking internet.
Dude, that's a nightmare to me.
It was pretty much bad. At a certain point of the night, I was like, there is absolutely no one here that does any work that I want to be involved with.
Yeah.
And everyone who was here to make fun of it with me has left. So
that's brutal.
Because there were like a couple people there who do like comedy stuff as well, but they like all kind of split pretty quickly, and I pretty quickly also realized why, because it was it's like an industry thing for like just this like marketing world that I like don't want to be a part of at all. I like went to get a picture with this kid. I was like talking to him. I was like, is it weird to have like millions of fans when you're 15? Just goes like, what do you mean? And I was just like, all right, that's all you know. That's
anybody who doesn't is kind of a failure.
So one of the reasons I brought that up is I looked up Brad Arnold quotes, and they read like a weird Twitter account. I mean, maybe it's just the one this website selected. So I'm just gonna read these in order. These are all real. This is not one of my crazy bits.
Crazy.
Pretty soon we're going home to a lot of bad things. After the show in Virginia, they laid all the food out, and it covered the entire floor. That makes you proud right there.
What?
Chris, our guitar player, has 8 feet of water in his house.
What does that mean?
Wait, like it flooded?
The kids tend to be younger and don't have as much driving experience.
Where are you finding these?
Initial reports are that the Saturn failed to stop at a stop sign or just didn't see the truck coming and pulled out in front of it.
Oh, no.
It was always an honor to play the event. Dick Clark is a great guy. Those are all the quotes that this website has.
One of those is from a deposition for sure.
Oh, my God.
Our guitarist has 8 feet of water in his house. It's so funny to me. Without context, it's so funny.
Oh my God. Another quote here that I thought was funny because it goes in line with how boring they are. This person from the website threedoorsdownweb.yaya.com interviewed the band, and it just says interview with Three Doors Down. And this guy's asking him questions, and they're all short answers. He's so short with this kid. He goes, I assume it's a kid, but it's probably an old man. It's a man named Mike Farley. He's interviewing Matt Roberts, and he says, do you guys get tired of playing Kryptonite? The guy says, no, the crowd usually makes it interesting, which I don't even know what that means. And then he goes,
oh, I think I know it. Sometimes when they do it live, the live version, he lets the crowd sing whoa at the end.
Oh,
that's pretty fun. Interesting.
Yeah. They might mix it up with a hey.
Yeah,
or
who's to say, man? It's in the crowd's hands now.
This is one of my favorites.
Crouch does hey.
It just says, do you have any funny stories from the road? And then Matt says, every day is fun. I live with a bunch of characters. Nothing else.
Oh, God.
No
See,
stories.
They're so fucking
that is
boring.
So boring. This does sound like the bus door closes and all their heads just sink down.
Yeah.
Like damn robot girl.
Yeah, exactly. And they just reactivate when they reach another town in Florida.
Well, he looks like he shops at the truck stops along the way.
Yeah, yeah.
He just wears
his whole wardrobe is from that. None of the shirts mean anything.
It's just like
it seems
skull.
Like...
Yeah, the one we saw, it's a skull with the American flag transposed onto it. Like, what? You're a grown
Here's
man.
America loves skulls.
Hell yeah. Skulls are pretty sick. We should make that our flag.
We as a country, I think, can all agree that skulls are incredibly cool.
Yeah, he just united the nation.
Oh, yeah. Are you or any of the band members into sports? We play golf.
Oh, of course. That's why they're in that 17 hole.
These guys, I feel like these guys would have like passionate feelings about some baseball team or something.
Yeah.
Or like the NFL. And oh my God, thank God.
They aren't into baseball.
Are they active right now? Because I feel like they'd have written a song about like all the kneeling stuff at this point.
Oh, I bet you're right, but I don't think they've put anything out yet.
I'm sure that guy's put up a weird Instagram post about
it.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if we can find one. Do you think they have Instagram?
Well, I read that one guy's bio.
Oh, nice.
The one with 8 feet of water in his house. Maybe find an Instagram of that.
I would love to see him in
floaties.
In a flooded basement with no explanation. It's just how I like it.
Oh my God. Wait. Oh no, that is just water that's coming out of bark.
They're doing VH1 cribs.
Yeah. Oh God. He has a picture of just a gun in front of the trunk.
Oh boy.
Sticker.
Yeah, that's
Jesus.
Rough.
Oh, Brad. Why, Brad? Why you? Oh, what animal is this? Oh, a little baby bunny. That's pretty cool. We can all agree that's pretty fun. I really want to find what he's all about, you know?
A post that'll reveal a little bit of what's going on behind the eyes here.
Yeah, there's a lot of guns in here, which is pretty fun, you know?
Yeah, I feel like these guys probably would have taken the old Second Amendment left turn at some point in their career. Because I feel like at the start, they were just singing goofy songs about Superman and, you know, kind of breakup-y stuff. And then I think, like a lot of bands, they probably realize, like, oh, there's money to be made to continue being the go-to song at every Wisconsin mall.
For sure.
And I think they were just like, all right, like, let's lean in, boys. Like,
well, you know what's so funny, though, is, like, I feel like they do well, but still, like I read that there was a Reddit thread, like, let's show these libtards how much we love Three Doors Down.
Yeah,
and then every comment in it is just... talking about another band that they like. And they're like, Three Doors Down is pro-military, like all these other bands I really like. You know what I mean? Like, no one really likes them.
That's so funny.
Even in the, like, let's show these libtards, people be like, yeah, Three Doors Down is kind of like this band I actually enjoy.
Maybe it's a great time to support the genre.
In defense of the genre, as Say Anything once said, I'm your emo bitch here to talk about.
Ooh, here's something from that interview. The question, this guy's not a good interviewer. It just says, Kryptonite has been a huge hit. What's the song about? And the answer is a father figure, someone that somebody looks up to. And they're asking the question, you know, you look up to me. What if I slip up? What if that person does something bad and damages that image? Kryptonite is
hits
the bad
somebody
thing.
With their car.
Yeah, yeah. You know, a little slip up.
This was the Frost Nixon of our time.
Says, Kryptonite is the bad thing. And if you do that bad thing, will that person still look at you in the same light? It's a tough question from both angles.
Wow.
Man. That really ruined that song.
I don't love that that's the only answer that's over a sentence long.
I know. That's it.
Like, that's when he decides to, like, be, you know, super wordy with his response. Yeah, what's the bad thing?
Something a pedophile would say about, you know what I mean?
I feel like it's just like, there's something in my past that if my son were to ever see, he might not look at father the same way anymore.
Still look up to me? If I'm a creature and I run over an innocent man. All right, let's hear some more Three Doors Down here.
Whoops, red light.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
his car's just slipping.
Oh, man. All right, this is Here Without You.
This sounds exactly the same as the Kryptonite show.
100 days have made me older since the last time that I've saw your pretty face. 1,000 lives have made me colder, and I don't think I can look at this the same.
Lives. This is like, to let you know what kid we're working with here, my favorite movie at the time was the John Travolta Punisher film.
Wow.
Oh, I don't even remember that. Yeah, I didn't even see that.
It was rough. It's not worth revisiting. It's not bad enough to be good, but it's not good enough to be good either.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It was like, and it was full of music like this. Like, I don't know. I didn't, like, grow up in, like, a gun country type place or anything like that, and I, like, never had any desire to, like, reach into that culture, but, like, this music just really got me for some reason.
Interesting.
I mean, I was into some of this. Like, I remember liking Loser, and I liked this. I liked
When I'm Gone my other favorite.
Yeah.
That's another one that I would say is doesn't necessarily hold up because, like, this whole genre doesn't really, like, hold up, so to speak. But, like, I would say, like, if you are looking for, like, a rock song from the 2000s, like, it's not a bad example and not a bad one to have to, like, revisit.
It is crazy how totally out of fashion this style is now. Like,
yeah.
You
oh, yeah.
Like, you couldn't
I mean, Daughtry, I guess, but, like, even he's
but
not
But that was,
been,
like, 2009.
That's right.
Yeah.
It feels so recent.
The guitar, like, quietly died over the last, like, 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Like,
this type of guitar, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, rock in general, like, you know, because the indie stuff kept going for a while.
Of course,
but,
yeah,
like, heavy electric guitar is just not in music anymore.
Unless St. Vincent's doing it.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, I remember when I was reading a lot of feedback about Jesus Christ Superstar, because that's who I am. Someone was like, this is, like, the biggest mainstream rock guitar usage there's been in this decade. And I was like, oh, shit, that's, like, true. And then
it's like,
cause,
like, Jack White kept doing his thing.
We just saw him.
Yeah, yeah. It was
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, that was super fun.
Oh, damn.
It's he's, like, he kind of just kept doing, like, rock and blues stuff. But it's like, yeah, it's like into that, like, blues kind of, like, old country Americana thing. It doesn't really, it's nothing like, you know, this stuff.
I just want to see if Three Doors Down ever played SNL. I just thought.
Oh, good question.
Oh, man.
I'll say real fast. I've looked up the song facts for Here Without You. Lead singer Brad Arnold says he wrote this song with his now ex-wife as inspiration. he didn't write it for her. There's a difference, he laughs, when he talks about how wrong he was with his declaration of when the last one falls, when all is said and done. But then, who can possibly predict the future? The song's just about being away from someone or missing them, he clarifies, and it really doesn't matter if you're here without them for all day or all month. It's just a kind of about the lonely and missing. This is what it says. It says it's just kind of about the lonely and missing of somebody, but people kind of take that sort of as a little bit of a sad song.
Yeah.
Of course.
You just said word lonely.
He's just
weirdo.
Dumb. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in a way, I kind of made it as a happy song, and the reason being because it's like talking about being here without you.
Oh my God.
But she's still with me in my dreams. He just says the lyrics.
I feel like this is a guy trying to like reconcile like a somewhat vulnerable, you know, vulnerable in heavy quotes, but like trying to reconcile that with like his tough guy image where he's just like, I don't know, like I'm lonely, but I'm not like a bitch.
I'm not kidding. He keeps just kind of saying the lyrics. He goes, she's still with me in my dreams. And tonight, it's only you and me. So the song was really just about that dream and being in a state of peace because you've got that person there with you in your sleep. And in that way, I kind of meant for it to be a little bit of a happy song.
You
he
never
just
know.
He keeps talking in circles.
Yeah. You truly never know when you're going to have a nasty, nasty sex dream about your ex-wife.
God,
that reminds
that's great.
You of, have you seen this? I'll read it. This famous interview with the guy with Serge Tankian from System of a Down about Chop Suey.
No.
So they ask him what it's about, and he goes, yeah, I just realized it was time to wake up, you know, grab a brush and put a little makeup. Hide the scars to fade away the shakeup, you know? Why did you leave the keys upon the table? Here you go, create another fable. And then the interview goes, you wanted to.
That's great. Did they play SNL?
No, the first video when you search Three Doors Down Saturday Night Live is just a guy going, Three Doors Down Saturday Night, like a cell phone video of them playing on a Saturday night.
Nice. All right. Shall we listen to When I'm Gone?
They won't do well on the show.
Nice. Did you guys meet Lauren this weekend?
I didn't see him. I was flustered by having seen Jon Hamm.
Yeah,
Jon Hamm kept walking by our table.
Yeah.
It was cool at first, weird at fourth.
Yeah. He was kind of doing laps around the room.
He was probably drunk.
Got him. Seemed that way.
There's another world inside of me that you may never see.
I love arpeggios.
There's secrets in this life that I can't hide.
There's a lot of talk about secrets, like
the
now.
Bad thing.
Yeah, like now that we're looking in deep. The talk of the secrets and the bad thing and the loneliness. I feel like this guy's got like some sort of like real deep-seated issue that he just it's gonna like come out at the end of his life. Like a Citizen Kane just confessed to a crime.
Citizen Soldier.
Yeah, Citizen Soldier. So hold me when I'm here.
There's a drop.
This is the part of the commercial for the Marine movie where the Marines are shooting
the gun. Nice. I remember that. Hell yeah. It says, although the lyrics don't have anything to do with the Army or war, the music video is dedicated to all the men and women serving in the U.S. military.
This is where I think they were starting to realize, like,
yeah,
we love the troops.
It's like, obviously, go ahead and support the troops. Yeah. They're doing good work out there, but like, how lame of a cash grab is it to dedicate a video that has nothing to do with it?
Nickelback did do the same thing, because I remember there was this video Nickelback had out, and I was like just old enough to start making fun of these like types of things. Like I was kind of aging out of it, because they had this music video where it was for one of their popular songs, and it was not about firemen at all.
Yeah.
But the music video was a fireman going, he kisses his wife goodbye, and he goes off to fight a big forest fire, and he gets trapped under a big flaming log and dies, and you're just like, oh no. And at the end, he comes out of the forest and returns to his wife.
Hell,
and he's all covered in soot, and it's just like for firefighters.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I was drinking with all my buddies one night, and then I like went out to get more beer, and it turns out I hadn't put a screen on the fireplace.
Is that right? Yeah.
And I come home, turns out my kids burned alive.
Yeah. And the best part is we had just taken insurance out on them.
Yeah.
There's a, just remind me of like a military cash grab. There's a famous story of, I won't name him, but a Chicago comedian asking the audience at the Laugh Factory to give a standing ovation for the troops and then getting off stage as if the standing ovation was for him. Like, oh, thank you guys so much.
Oh my God. That's
one of my favorite
that's
things.
So funny.
Yeah.
So that was when I'm gone. I just realized there's a weird turn in that song where he says, and I won't tell you a damn thing that I could not tell my family.
Yes!
Yeah. What is that?
I noticed that when I was listening earlier. Was
you like, should probably have some things you tell your partner that
not your
maybe
fans.
You don't tell your fans. But then again, he's so dumb. It's like he probably just spills it all out.
Yeah.
This is the song facts. It says, when I'm gone does not necessarily mean when I'm gone in a permanent sense. When Brett Arnold wrote this song, the subject he had in mind was unconditional love for when you're removed from your loved ones by miles or time or other obstacles.
Or a prison for the crimes that have finally caught up with you.
This is him. It says, it's asking a question. Just please love me when I'm gone, says the lead singer.
Oh, what? And he does it again?
He does it again. And not just like when I'm dead and gone, but when I'm going to come back.
Oh, my God.
And that's kind of one thing it's about. But at the same time, it's kind of about unconditional love.
He is so fucking dumb.
It's a lot of different statements. It's asking of the person in that song. And it's just like the fulfillment of those different needs for every situation that it mentions. So I guess that song is just about needing someone really to be there for you unconditionally and when you're gone.
Slides it in one last time at the end.
So dumb.
Unbelievable.
Mike Racine wrote us a song, song parody. Should I read this or should I just not? All right. I just know that we, the people of Stand By Your Band, the co-hosts, and I assume Dan, I'm going to include Dan on this too, the three of us in this room don't condone this, but Mike did text me separately to ask me to read this. So it's, hold me because I'm queer. Kiss me on my schlong. You can be the bear and I will suck your dog. You can put your cum right inside of me, and then we can go and drink each other's pee.
Well, that's so nice for me.
That was nice. It's nice for you. I'm sorry I laughed all the way through that. It probably annoyed some people. But, it's just an absurd thing to say. What a good song. Good job, Mike. If you like that or hate it, follow Mike Racine. Why not? He could probably use the help. He's a good, he's funny. He's a good man. All right, let's listen to It's Not My Time.
Oh, yeah. Now the current's only pulling me down. It's still hard to breathe. You're never going to kill me. This was during, like, they had turned hard into, like, the military stuff.
For some reason, I like this one more. I think it moves better.
Yeah.
It's definitely more upbeat. It seems like it's apologizing for a less serious crime.
I like this guitar, too. This song was originally written for the remake of the movie The Poseidon Adventure.
Oh, with Fergie?
I think that's... Is that right?
I think she was in it, right?
That's so
funny. Am I crazy?
I don't remember that.
I just heard the song. I never watched the movie.
I have to check.
That's the one about a boat.
That's right. Yeah, and Three Doors Down had a violent reaction to hearing about that boat sinking.
It says,
I like they have a violent reaction to everything.
Okay.
Tragedy, real or fictional.
So it says, in the movie, they're just trying to escape their death, and there's a ship sinking. They showed me like a 30-second clip of the movie, and I went and wrote that song from it.
No.
He just is singing about this part where it's not my time, I'm not going.
Wow. Fergie isn't Poseidon.
He went upbeat with it, too. Like the one super upbeat Three Doors Down song.
He says, I wrote Let Me Go off of 17 Days for Spider-Man, and they didn't want it, so we kept it.
Spider-Man didn't want his song.
Well, because they took Hero by Chad Kroeger.
And they say that a hero can save us.
Oh, that's a great song.
Yeah, my dad loves that song.
There's a clip of Brad responding when after he wrote the song and somebody asked what it was going to be for. I like Spider-Man. Oh man, deep cut from what is that movie? That's from Knocked Up. That's right. Have we talked about the Slender Man thing on here? We probably don't need to.
I'm too busy watching Fergie's scenes from Poseidon on mute.
Nice. This is the Poseidon Adventure, I should say. I don't know if they're different things. Yeah,
it might be a different thing. Could there be two Poseidon?
I think the original was called Poseidon Adventure.
But in the last 15 years, could there be two movies with Poseidon in the title?
No, no way. No, then again, movies do come in pairs like that.
I think, because there's one, I think in like the 60s or 70s, it was called The Poseidon Adventure, because my parents talked about it.
Yeah.
Wait, why is this part of the song facts for this? It says... It says parkour, sometimes called free running, although the latter is actually somewhat different, is a physical discipline, sometimes called a modern-day martial art originating in France. It can be summed up as acrobatics meet assault courses, whereas free running is... What does this have to do with this song?
Maybe the music video involved parkour.
Oh, it must have. Okay, that has to be it, because it just goes on to describe parkour for the rest of the thing. That is so funny. Man. Oh, that's what it is. They're in the music video. They're doing parkour.
They're really going for the trends.
That is really great.
They're like, people love the troops and they love urban free running.
I know that this is not what you guys are thinking about, but if you look up the Fergie scenes of Poseidon and watch them on mute, it's all just water going. Like, it's all this crazy. Like, Fergie's not in any of the shots, really. It's just like water going against a boat. And it doesn't seem like anyone's talking. So check that out.
Yeah, check it out.
I think the whole thing is the boat like turns upside down. Oh, there's a whole bunch of water coming in that room.
It's like the guitarist's house.
Yeah, I was going to say, our Fergie has 8 feet of water in her house.
This is Away from the Sun.
A little treat for us is we're watching the Poseidon Adventure clips while this plays.
This should have been the music video.
Nice.
Just a bunch of people drowning. It's the exact sort of dumb thing I can watch a million times.
Oh no, the boat's going down.
And also as a lifelong Titanic fan.
This seems like Titanic with an attitude.
Yeah, right? It seemed like someone was like, alright, that's like whatever happens. Popular, like an executive points out the wrong part of it and is like, that's what we need to recreate.
Yeah.
Like when Transformers came out and it was just like a big explosion movie and they were like, no, it's the toys. We need to make more movies about toys. And now we've seen 10 years of movies about like every toy. Yeah, and Ouija boards had their own movies.
I loved Ouija.
Was it good?
I thought it was great, but I liked Dumbledore.
Yes. Yeah, if you like that. But yeah, it's like I feel like that's what's capturing America's heart right now.
That's 12 minutes of the ending. It really does feel like it's the video for this.
It's a different song, too.
It's just if you play any song and watch a video on mute, it just becomes that, you know?
For this song, it says, lead singer Brad Arnold told us, Away from the Sun is just about those days. A really important little short phrase is at the beginning of the chorus. It says, now again I found myself so far down. You know what I mean? It's like,
no.
Yet again I've fallen.
That's a really important phrase.
It's not like, just once you're in a hole. It's like, here I am again. You watch the kid in the video, it's over and over, he's at the bottom again. It's like every time he crawls back up, someone just pushes him down. And for about a 2 to 3 year period of my life, I just really felt like that. I didn't even feel like climbing up the hill anymore, because every time I climbed up, somebody was going to push me back down it. And that song is just a reflection of that time period of my life, and thank God it's over. But I just felt away from the sun.
Wow.
He repeats himself so much in these interviews.
Really, oh my God, this video... Is really him? It's just a little boy trying to climb up a hill.
He directed this.
Okay, or he wrote this. There's something going on here because he's getting laughed at by like 3 schoolgirls.
Yeah, it's very weird.
He wrote this video apparently.
Oh wow, yeah. So the video is this like young kid dressed like a.
And the band is throwing rocks at the kid.
Throwing rocks at this child.
He wrote that.
I find myself throwing rocks.
He's like, and I have integrity. We used real rocks. None of these. Rob Hayes is there for some reason.
Wow, you're gonna have to watch this video and know who Rob Hayes is.
That's past
guest. Understand? Yeah. Let's see here.
Oh, there's a
is that
lady
like a
in
Jesus
white
figure. Whoa.
Are you saying Jesus was a woman?
It could have been. Why not? You got a problem with that?
Oh, wow.
Son of God.
Something happened at home. Did you guys just see this last clip here? A man and a wife beater just walked past a woman in a white dress to push the boy all the way down the hill and then walked back towards her, like, waving his hand, like, fuck off. So I feel like, oh, boy, yeah, and there's a bunch of schoolgirls laughing
school
at him.
Schoolgirls are mean.
Disgusting.
Yeah, yeah, I really hated that.
It's like a David Lynch thing, but
it had a Passion of the Christ feel to it a little bit. I really hated it.
It's just like that weird feeling of like someone who can't hide. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's just so plainly bare that he's like, oh, you felt weird about girls in high school and your dad was mean. Like,
that's... Throw rocks at a child.
Yeah.
This is Citizen Soldier.
This is 2005, baby.
So weird.
Sounds like an Incubus, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I did have a friend growing up.
Bragger.
He was super Republican. He was like the only like Republican among my friends. And this was like during the Bush years when like I feel like there were just Republicans about that weren't like quietly hiding like now. This kid was like very up so many times he was like a super right wing dude, and like this song really like jived with
him.
He did not join any of the armed forces though. He couldn't practice what he preached.
Did he have bone spurs?
As far as the movie theater thing, this fucking theater, Brad says he has yet to see his song / video in a movie theater, but Brad says that he's seen it once at the little premiere party we had for it. That was it. That was on a pretty small screen, actually. I've never seen it once. I always tried to get there early and stuff, and I always missed it. He laughs.
He's the stupidest guy in America.
I really get to a movie of time. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
So anything good they've done was an accident.
Yeah.
Is what I'm gaining from these interviews. It's just like, this dude's just... Honestly, it's astounding. That like he managed to string enough together like to have a music career.
He is Homer and we're all Frank Grimes.
Like, seriously.
How are you doing this?
Yeah.
Wait.
I love that it's about the Coast Guard, too. Because it's like acting like there's gonna be an inevitable day when you're gonna need the Coast Guard. It's when you try to make a homemade raft with your boys and you get lost at sea, think of your brothers and sisters.
Guys, I'm thinking about joining the military. I don't know.
I suddenly
how you
feel like really compelled to do it. It's like that other Simpsons episode.
Yeah, Ivan Nia.
Yeah.
So that's about Charles Foster Soldier.
That was the playlist. That's all of them.
Yeah.
Damn. Interesting.
What a journey.
Do you have any regrets about what you've done today?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. When I remembered they played the Trump inauguration, I immediately was just like, uh-oh. I can't really apologize for their politics enough. But Kryptonite's still
what about
a jam.
The lives they've destroyed.
Yeah.
You know, the people who got hit by the cars and whoever the mysterious victims of the bad thing may be.
This is why we got to have robot cars. Then we won't have to worry about that sort of thing. This unavoidable thing that happened.
This epidemic of celebrities running over people with their cars.
Oh, boy.
I mean... No regrets on Kryptonite being a karaoke jam. That I don't think that's going
to
change anytime
soon. I
can't
fight you on that. I was looking up song facts for this, but nothing more interesting than we've already found. And just more stupid for stuff from.
I think that's the biggest takeaway is this man is astoundingly dumb. I had never heard a word that had come out of his mouth until today, and like it's genuinely fascinating to me. Like. He's in any given question they ask him, he says the name of the song.
Hold on, actually, I will read.
Okay,
because he does it again. Brad says this song is a question. Its question is kind of strange one. It's not just asking if I fall down, will you be there for me? Because it's easy to be there for someone when they're down. but it's not always easy to be there for somebody when they're doing good. And that's the question it's asking.
What?
It's like, if I go crazy, will you still call me Superman?
Oh, my God.
It's asking, if I'm down, will you still be there for me? But at the same time, if I'm alive and I'm well, will you be there holding my hand? That's kind of asking, if I'm doing good, will you be there for me? Will you not be jealous of me? And maybe throughout the years of singing that song, I might have come up with more meanings for it than I actually might have originally had. He laughs. The fact that he wrote the song when he was only 15 doesn't seem remarkable to Brad, because he says every 15-year-old has those questions in their head. They might not know how to quite say it, or they might not feel like it's acceptable to say something. And the biggest thing that I've had as an honor to be able to do is to be able to say something. And after I say it, it's okay.
Oh, my God.
After an artist says it, if a rock star says it, okay, it's fine. That really boils down to why rock and roll inspires pop culture
so much.
Trying
to get his courage up to talk about the bad thing.
Yeah.
Or just music in general, not just rock and roll, because artists push the envelope and they go out on a limb to say something else. But it also comes with a responsibility. You got to watch what you say, because kids listen. And I try to watch what I say, too. Who? I don't think he does.
Oh, boy.
What the hell is he ever talking about?
That was a hell of a tangent, because kids listen.
May I quote Chris Tucker really quick?
Oh, of course.
Don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of his mouth.
Man, what a jam. You know?
I eagerly await whatever news story comes out about this guy. Because it's going to be a doozy.
You'll be the face of the... he has his defenders.
Yeah.
Like Shorty Award nominee Dan Sheehan.
Yeah, just like a picture of me looking scared.
Seen here, approaching Backpack Kid.
Hey, Backpack Kids, listen. You need to watch it. All right, that was the playlist. Tommy, do you want to go first? You want me to?
I like talking to you, Dan. And I think you're a great man.
Yeah, you're a good guy there, Dan.
Like, they just are so boring, and it's so nothing to me. And Kryptonite, obviously, I have some nostalgia for. But yeah, no, I just did not enjoy listening to it at all. I don't know. But they aren't as bad as like a band that actually makes me mad to listen to, like 311.
But that's almost just as bad.
Yeah.
As, you know.
Well, you know what they say, Tom? The opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference.
That's true.
And I feel
said
indifference
that.
Towards Damn. This band.
Which is the opposite of love.
As the Lumineers said. And because of that, I am going to give them a quarter of a point for each song, mm-hmm. putting them at 1.5 out of 6. But then, because it is my year of generosity,
ooh.
And even though they are the band of mediocrity, they'll be a 1.75 out of 6, a disgusting score, Dan.
That is a low, low score, Dan, and you should feel bad about it.
You've done the bad thing.
I am going to be a little more generous. Generous?
That's the new show on ABC, right?
Oh, man. Yeah, so I can't not give... I got to give Kryptonite a full point. I think between Here Without You, When I'm Gone, and It's Not My Time, I can scrounge up another point.
Talking about scrounging.
The rest of it's dog shit.
Don't you ever touch a black man's radio.
Stop quoting Chris Tucker on this goddamn podcast. I wish I could think of one more Chris Tucker quote, but I just can't.
I was in Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh, was he? Oh, yeah, he was crazy, right?
Great job learning to dance, Jennifer Lawrence.
That was his famous line.
I feel
line.
Like that was his big line.
He loved it so many times, they just left it in. Yeah. They just let him call her Jennifer Lawrence.
I, for myself, would give this playlist a 2. But because it is Tommy's year of generosity, that leaves me to be the bad guy. Where to every yin, there's a yang. To every hall, there's an oats. To every Dan, there's a Backpack Kid. I am going to reduce my score 1/4, giving it a 1.75.
This is a rare.
I don't know if we've ever had the same one. Yeah,
well,
I really was going
agreement.
Into this. I was really I really thought 2 the whole time. So
you brought
I feel
us together,
like,
Dan.
Yeah, Dan.
Yeah.
Through your atrocities, not unlike how 9/11 brought this country
we
together.
We had a violent reaction to this playlist.
I'm going to beat the shit out of you after we turn off the mics. But, Dan, what do you give this playlist?
I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm going to admit that, Citizen Soldier is not going to get any points.
Kryptonite's getting a full point out of me.
Of course.
And then, of course, When I'm Gone, Here Without You. And so I'm gonna go ahead and say like a 3 points. I'm gonna give him.
Holy shit! This was your pick.
Low self esteem from Dan.
The interviews ruined some of the songs for me.
Well, I'm glad you came on and ruined something you enjoyed.
Well, now I enjoy it for a whole different reason because I want to read the facts for every song they've ever written.
For sure.
He does need to have like a long interview series.
He needs a book to be written and it ends the same way it begins, but not on purpose.
I may need to stop calling them my favorite band of the 2000s and start calling them a one-hit wonder or something.
His book is like, so this is the introduction. It comes before the story, which I think is interesting because it's actually the beginning.
Let's wrap this bad boy up. Dan, is there anything you want to plug there, buddy?
If you live in LA, We Still Like You LA is every third Saturday of the month. And then, if you're on Twitter, my Twitter account is at It's Dan Sheehan. And then I run a wolf-themed one called Not a Wolf. That's at Sick of Wolves. So you
very
can check
funny, man.
Hell yeah. I will be at Moon Tower in Austin, Texas. Ooh. This Thursday through Saturday. I'm doing 2 shows with Nikki Glaser at Cap City, and Friday we're doing some theater, and we're going to do a live episode of me and Nikki's show, You Up with Nikki Glaser, featuring Tom Tekar. Trying to slip that in there. I'll also be headlining the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana, May 3rd through the 5th, and I believe I'll be in New Orleans later that month, too, so check my calendar for dates. TomTekar.com. Tommy McNamara.
Yeah, just go to my website. Look up his website. You can do my twisted little jokes.
Twisted freak. And hey, if you bring him a cup of your own piss, you get in for free. I would love to get that going.
You'd have to make a deal with the venue.
I'll call each venue and clear up.
Okay.
Some places, if you bring a can of peas, you get in for free. This is a cup of pee. All right. Like food drives and stuff. All right. Thanks for listening. Keep it crispy. Bye.